On the show today, we have Pure IT Creating Services' very own Jack Smith and Purity Technologies' Robbie Wright and Community Business Lender CEO Bill Kurtz, all talking about how QSOs collaborate and help credit unions ultimately better serve their members. And in this discussion, particularly, we're talking about how Community Business Lenders did this through Pure IT's cloud migration. Really cool stuff here. Check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show, and on today's program, as you can see, we have a full house right in front of us. We have Pure IT Credit Union Services' Jack Smith down there in the bottom corner. Jack, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing fantastic and great to be here, Mike. Thank you.
Good, good. Glad to have you as always. And then right above Jack, we have Robbie, right? Robbie, how are you, sir?
Hello, hello. Doing well, doing well.
Good job, good job. And then right below me, we have Mr. Bill Kurtz from Community Business Lenders. Bill, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you. Glad to be here.
Good, good. Well, we got our little Hollywood Squares format going here, and we're going to be talking about the first question is going out to we're going to be talking about how QSOs really complement each other by collaborating, and then that just fully benefits credit unions to the ends of the earth, for lack of better terminology here. But we're going to talk about, you guys have a white paper out and all this type of stuff. But Jack, I'm going to start with you. What is the impact QSOs are having on the credit union industry right now? Let's just kind of lay the foundation here. How's it going out there with the QSOs?
Wow, that's a great question. So I think QSOs are becoming more and more valuable to the industry as a whole. I think that you know what's great about credit unions is, and nobody seems to know this, but they seem to innovate faster. And I think QSOs are helping that along in a tremendous amount of ways. Yep. I'm lucky enough to be in the fintech space, so there's a lot going on there, obviously, from a QSO perspective. And I see it all the time, all the different QSOs that are popping up around technology. But like what Bill does, I mean, what Community Business Lenders does, I mean, again, another value from a QSO for a credit union. So to me, QSOs are completely changing the industry for the better. If I look at what Guy's vision was, and if I look at what some of the people that really were in the forefront of the whole QSO movement, it's fulfilling what they wanted it to fulfill, which is to really add value back to members and credit unions with people that are solely focused on the industry and can really help move it along and understand it. So I have nothing but fantastic things to say about QSOs. In fact, Nat QSO, and I'm going to put a plug in really quick, is where I met Bill. Bill and I actually did a breakout. We were both there representing our QSOs, and they had this thing where you could go sit at a table and talk to another QSO to see if you could help each other. And I sat down and plopped in the technology section and sat there by myself for a few minutes. And then Bill and one of his partners came by and we struck up a conversation. And that's how this whole relationship actually started 3 years ago in Disneyland in Anaheim. So it's pretty crazy to say that.
But that
it was actually, you were there. You were interviewing people.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. So, yeah, and speaking of NACUSO, I mean, if you go to a NACUSO, when we get to go back again in person, which I hope is very, very soon, but it's there's kind of like this startup mentality. It's a very kind of an entrepreneurial, there's a very cool entrepreneurial spirit about it, and that's what I really enjoy. And again, like you said, Jack, it's all obviously focused on credit unions, so that's just kind of the cherry on top of a ice cream sundae there. So, and Bill, I want to get your perspective on the QSO environment as well. So, because this is your kind of your first time on CU Broadcast, so welcome. But yeah, what's your take on the QSOs and how they're helping credit unions out there?
Well, thank you. I've been in the credit union world now for just a little over 3 years when I first joined Community Business Lenders, and I had spent the prior 20 some years in the banking world, working for both community banks and then large super regionals and that sort of thing. And one of the things I've been so happy with and impressed with the credit union world is just how collaborative everyone is here. Everyone shares best practices, best ideas. You know, we get along well, that sort of thing. And with regard specifically to QSOs, when you compare small community banks and maybe credit unions, depending on their size, to the super large, super regional banks, they have lots of experts in certain things. You know, you have people that are experts in technology, you have people that are experts in law and in accounting and in certain types of lending and that sort of thing. And that makes sense because they're so big, they can afford those specialists. Well, what the credit union space has done nicely is the formation of these QSOs, which allows them to tap into experts in certain areas without having to pay the full freight of having them on their staff full time.
Right.
So, you know, it's on an on-demand basis, and, you know, I think it's just fantastic. You know, in working with Pure IT and the folks there, it's been great for us. You know, we've actually moved all of our business to them over the course of time, and we're glad to be with them. But that allows us to then tap into experts in that field, which we certainly are not, and derive the benefits of that on a very economical basis.
Indeed. And Robbie, I'm going to come to you on the next question here. So let's talk about collaboration here, because obviously this is the credit union wheelhouse. They collaborate like nobody's business. They talk to each other constantly, and that's a great thing for the industry. But for CUSOs to collaborate, that takes it to a whole new level. So how is the collaboration between CUSOs, you know, a big role in that impact? How does it impact that kind of that section of the industry?
Well, I think a couple different ways, like picking on Bill and CBL a little bit. They make a great example from the kind of the credit union side. Specifically, I think 40 some odd credit unions, Bill, total, that came together and have managed to get the collective expertise all put together under CBL. Wow. And on the pure IT side, we've done very similar, albeit with technology. And so what kind of ends up happening is, from what I've observed in the CUSO space, is it already has a little bit more of a kind of a forward leading edge than maybe some of the credit unions have been historically. You know, we already mentioned the CUSO, it kind of feels a little bit different there. Things like their Next Big Idea competition have always been really cool in my book to watch how some of those go down and kind of learn what other people are doing.
Yep,
and so I feel like when CUSOs work with CUSOs, you're kind of working with people that are a little bit like-minded. They're a little bit more entrepreneurial. They're a little bit more willing to kind of, you know, be on that front leading edge. And, you know, in our case with technology, but it could be with, you know, different types of member business lending or cannabis banking or any type of compliance thing. There's kind of different avenues CUSOs tend to go. And it's been really rewarding for Jack and I both to see and kind of some of these other CUSOs grow up, us included, and be able to work with some of kind of the innovators in the industry.
How prevalent is the collaboration, Robbie, that you've seen out there? How common is it for CUSOs to get together and go, hey, let's join forces to really kind of up our game and to help credit unions in a better way?
Oh, man, that's a good one.
I can actually give an example if
Jack,
you'd like.
You
really
go
fast,
for it.
Just off the fly.
Yeah,
so I had a call. I had a call this morning with the CEO of SwitchThink, Scott Butler.
Yeah.
Right. And we're collaborating on some projects together, and we're trying to help each other out. And we're both technology CUSOs, right? But we are leveraging each other's talent and expertise in house and looking for ways to work together. Robbie's actually helped on that project a little bit as well. But that's the kind of stuff that's just unique to the space, right? Mm-hmm. Normally, we might see each other as competitors, which we're really not, because they do what they do around correlation, right? And right. We do all these other things. But to come together, Scott and I met, and I'd like to bring Kyle into that. Kyle and Scott and I met, and we hit it off, and we started having multiple conversations about what we do, because we're CUSOs. And you start realizing, oh, you guys can help us develop this product. Okay, we'll help you develop this product, because mm-hmm. we have some of that technology expertise. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's kind of one of the other ways we collaborate. It's just like credit unions is what's so awesome about mm-hmm. it. It's just different because it's more, to Robbie's point, a lot of it's a little bit more leading edge. Like we're doing the R&D stuff. We're trying the stuff that no one's doing to see if it'll work in a credit union. That's maybe the only difference I would throw out there.
But. Yeah. And Bill, coming from the banking side of the industry, this must be kind of a mind blowing thing for you. It's like what is going on here with these people?
It's mind blowing in a good way.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't be more pleased. I love working in the credit union world. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And back to your other question though about CUSOs working with CUSOs.
Yeah, yeah.
There is another CUSO based in Des Moines where I am. Called Lender Close.
Yes,
Lender Close.
Very well.
Yep, Lender Close specializes in some advanced software that credit unions can use to help them expedite the closing and origination of mortgages and perhaps other consumer loans. And so during the recession, when we were all working from home, and you know this is very early on, and we didn't think we could get together with our borrowers to sign loan documents and have mortgages notarized and that sort of thing, we reached out to LenderClose, and we worked with them on a way that we could leverage their platform, which wasn't designed for commercial, but to leverage that so that we could do remote notarization.
Yes.
So I'm pretty pleased with those folks as far as how they are pushing the industry forward with some of the things that they are doing. They're literally right a block away.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah. They're actually, I'm glad you said that because I'm actually airing an interview with LenderClose and Constellation, another QSO, how they've partnered up, and that's going to air next week. So how the timing of this is pretty cool.
Well, and so the other call that I had today was with John Ainsworth of CU Ledger. Oh. So that was a whole other call that I had.
Oh my gosh.
So I mean, it's hilarious when you think about it, right? It's like we all are always talking. The QSOs are, I mean, because we need each other. There's an ecosystem that we've built where we need each other. I mean, Bill, I would love for you to talk about some of the things that we've helped enable at Community Business Lenders.
Yeah, that was my next question, is how are you guys working together?
Oh, well, I will tell you, as Jack mentioned, we met 3 years ago out in the QSO in Disneyland. And one of the big things that we wanted to take away from that particular trip was we need to mingle with some folks that are experts in the world of technology, because we knew that we needed to make some substantial upgrades, frankly, across the board. And so it just happened to be that we went to a lunch one day and they had tables set up. There were breakout sessions and there was a table with a little table tent that said technology. And so my counterpart and I, we sat down at the table and Jack sat right next to me and we started visiting and I told him what we were looking for. And then you told me what you did, Jack. And I go, we both kind of looked at each other like, my God, this is the perfect match, you know, because
it worked.
What's that?
It worked.
It worked. Well, because, you know, from a, if you will, consumer or client perspective, a client of Pure IT, you know, we're lenders or we're, you know, whatever you may be in a credit union. Okay. You have expertise in that thing, that world, but we're not experts in IT. But the problem is when you engage with a technology company, oftentimes they sell hardware and software. Mm-hmm. So if you go to them for a customized solution, what are they going to offer you? They're going to offer you what they sell, right? If you sell Chevys, you're not going to recommend a Ford probably. And so what I really liked about Pure IT is, hey, they're agnostic to software or hardware. They're consultants. And that's what we really wanted. We want somebody that could be alongside of us and guide us to what is the best solution for us. Mm-hmm. And so that first step in that journey was we had Steve Coyne and some other folks from Pure IT come up to our office in Des Moines, Iowa, and they did an assessment of where we were at that time. And they put together a nice professional presentation saying, this is what you have, this is what we think is okay, and these are areas that you need to think about. One of our biggest concerns at that time was we had a server that had, 10 virtual servers inside of it, I think, Robbie. But it was at end of life stage. And it was, frankly, within about 6 months of being out of warranty as well. And we were maxed out on all of our servers. So we would literally have to delete things out of our shared drives to create more space to put more stuff in. I mean, that's how tight we were running. And we all agreed that moving to a cloud-based solution was going to be the best environment for us. And you know, so we were working towards that end, and we ultimately ended up engaging Pure IT to help us with vetting new software, new hardware, things of that nature. And so for us, it was a pretty substantial overhaul. It was a brand new underwriting and document sharing system. It was a new accounting system. It was a new, you know, cloud-based server environment, new phone system through Microsoft Teams. I mean, it was basically everything. And I can distinctly remember it was Super Bowl Sunday of this year. And Jack and Robbie, you'll probably remember this. I called you up in a panic because our server was down. And you got to remember, the issue we had is this server could go at any time. And I'm thinking,
and we were trying to convert him. We were in the middle of the conversion.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we were in the midst of cutting over, and I'm going, oh my gosh, is today the day that our server finally died, you know? And they literally got on the phone, and we spent probably, a good hour and a half, maybe more, on the phone together. And Jack, the CEO of the company, and Robbie, the CEO of, you know, his, you know, entity, we were on the phone together, and Robbie was walking me through a FaceTime call, which buttons I should push on the server, which things I should unplug. It was kind of like diffusing a bomb in a way.
And just don't cut the
wire. Robbie was right there with me. So that gave me comfort. ultimately we got it working again, but there was some time there where I was pretty stressed, and these guys, they came to the rescue. So thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. So also, so in addition to consulting with us on what we needed from a software perspective, a hardware perspective, you know, the cloud services, that sort of thing, we also made the decision to move all of our managed services to them. So that's your day-to-day back office, your IT support, and that sort of thing. You know, we had been with a large national firm. They were okay, but they kept changing the person that we worked with pretty regularly. You know, we were a pretty small fish in a great big pond of theirs. And so we moved to a local company here, and the service there was not good. And Jack and Robbie, this will probably make you chuckle, but do you remember when I was talking to you early on and I said, if we call you, will somebody pick up the phone? And you were kind of like, well, yeah. But that was a serious issue we were having. We couldn't get a call back from our IT provider on a timely basis. So we made the move also for our managed services to Pure IT earlier this year, and it has been a wonderful match. The folks there are so nice, so responsive. They speak to you on regular layman's terms as opposed to speaking over you with too much technical jargon and that sort of thing. And I just know if we have an issue, they will get it solved. So I'm so happy to be with them.
And Bill, thank you so much for that. Thank you. That's awesome. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we'll cut that out for a marketing soundbite for you, Jack, all right?
Well, thank you. Thank you, too.
I preach the gospel of Pure IT whenever I can.
Hey, really, Robbie, I want to turn to Robbie. So what are some of the goals of this collaboration, as well as any results that you guys have to share as well?
Well, so Bill actually makes a perfect example here. It feels like sometimes we almost had a crystal ball for the work from home, being prepared for life during and after COVID. And I guess to answer that question in the short form too, Mike, I really feel like we're an enabler. We want to let our customers, whether they're a credit union or a CUSO, focus on what they can be best in the world at, and not having to, you know, be the janitor or the painter or the IT guy. We want Bill and his team to be the best business lenders they can be and help credit unions close more business, win more deals, be more effective, increase ROA, increase member return, things like that. And so that's why Jack and I love what we do, is because we get to kind of take care of all that IT related stuff, right, so that our credit unions and CUSOs can focus on what they really can be awesome at.
Yep.
And in Bill's specific case in CBL, the migration that we did for them was really out of that kind of on-premise, here's your old virtual machine with backup batteries and everything else. All that goes away. In CBL's instance, everything is in Microsoft 365. They use Teams for their internal collaboration. It's their phone system. And so we can secure the endpoints in a manner that makes it extremely secure, so that they're able to deal with member information really regardless of where they're at. You know, without getting uber nerdy, we generally believe in what they call a zero trust environment, where they can be operating at home in a network that you don't necessarily control, or at a Starbucks free Wi-Fi hotspot. But ultimately, we're securing the user's identities as well as their devices. And that kind of enables CBL in this case to work from home and be able to close the office and take care of the life during COVID and after COVID that, you know, all of us have kind of come to rapidly adjust to.
Yep. Very cool. And so I want to switch gears a little bit here, Jack. You guys also produced a white paper on this, kind of documenting collaboration between CUSO. So what will readers gain from this piece that we'll also include in the show notes too?
Well, I hope that they realize how, I'm assuming that the white paper, and I have to be very direct here, I haven't actually seen the white paper yet. So, Robbie, I'm assuming you had a hand in that. So, is it around the Office 365 piece or?
Bits and pieces. No, just how credit unions can and CUSOs can work together to help further our collaboration, our ability to grow. Pretty much is that we want to, again, picking on this specific example, we want to help enable our clients to do what they can be best in the world at. By lowering some costs, you know, Bill and his crew aren't going to hire a dedicated IT guy. And so we can help offset some of that. I'm sure, you know, there's a lots of shared expense related CUSOs that just kind of straight up split their expenses. And so it gives everybody an opportunity to get that skill set that they might not otherwise have.
Right. Yeah. You do what you do best and I do what I do best. And man, that's when great things really happen. So when you can really focus on that type of, that sounds like what the power of the QSO collaboration is all about, Jack.
Yeah. Well, I hope that when we do the assessment, we actually get a handle on what the strategy is for the people that we're trying to support so that the solutions that we recommend are actually really in line with their overall strategy. So that's what we do when we're talking to credit unions, we're talking to QSOs, as Bill mentioned, we always try to start with that assessment piece because we need to know where you are and what your maturity level is and where you want to go. Right. And we shouldn't drive your strategy. Technology should never drive your strategy. It should be a part of your strategy and what you're trying to do. And so that's really the gospel that we preach too, is, you know, you need to know where you want to go from a business perspective, and then put the technology around it to help enable that to happen. So that's really, I mean, I hope that's what we've done for community business lenders. I know that when I first talked to Bill, it was extremely antiquated. They were in a very, he had people doing things. I will never forget Bill telling me this, and he was very nice when he said it. He goes, "We have a lady that does something that I think we can automate, and I don't necessarily want to get rid of her, but he's like, but it takes her 7 days to do it. And at my bank, that took us like an hour to do." And I went, "Yeah, I understand. I understand where you're coming from." And that's when he looked at me and goes, "Okay, you know what I need. I think I have a handle on what you're trying to do." So,
you know, from our perspective, you know, going to a cloud-based environment was key because it gives us flexibility. You know, and when I was talking with Jack and Robbie, you know, the main concern is what happens if our building burns down? You know, well, our stuff is backed up somewhere, but how do you get back at that stuff? You got to stand up a new server somewhere, and that's going to take days to get that done. And how's it all going to go down and that sort of thing? But by being in the cloud, it gives us so much flexibility, and our timing could not have been better. We literally flipped this on probably toward the end of February, I think it was, Robbie.
That's amazing.
I feel like it was weeks before everything kind of went sideways.
It was right before. From home. But, you know, what it's also done for us, so not only are we in a pandemic and working from home by and large, but we recently here in Iowa, we had this derecho. I don't know if you heard about that on the news, whatever. But basically what it is, it's straight line winds with hurricane force.
I heard about that, yeah.
And so it was not expected. There was no forecast for this, but one day it just got really dark out, almost like night. I mean, people's outside lights come on and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And we had 100-mile-an-hour winds. And so it naturally snapped off a lot of trees, which caused a lot of power outages, and the internet went out. And so being that we're cloud-based, you know, well, I should say half of us didn't have internet or power for a day or so. So what we could do, though, is we could go to a Starbucks or any other place like that that had Wi-Fi, and we could simply set up and work. So we didn't miss a beat that regard.
Right on.
So it's just, and from a disaster recovery perspective, it's been great.
Bill, I didn't even know that happened, and that's a whole nother 2020 thing now. Like, I need to add that to the list of 2020 things. Like, I didn't even know that existed, nor did I know that it happened. So that's shocking. Actually, yeah.
Yeah, I heard about that story. That was crazy. It's crazy stuff. Hey, we got a couple minutes left here. I want to ask each of you just real quickly, what advice do you have for other QSOs out there who may want to look to collaborate, or just talking about this whole collaboration trend? Because based on what I've heard so far, this is quite the trend that's growing like crazy. So just each of you real quickly, what advice do you have for other QSOs out there? Robbie, I'll start with you.
Well, I think we're all probably going to have the exact same answer if we counted down like 3, 2, 1, and it would all be go to NQSO.
Yeah.
The crew that's there is awesome. We all really missed the conference this year.
Yep.
But it really comes down to networking and being with other like-minded folks. You know, a lot of us go to a ton of credit union trade shows and conferences and are on the road. There's a few of them that are just a little bit different, but it really, at least from my perspective, it's really about networking, getting to know some of the other QSOs, and the QSO is just a great organization to help make that happen.
Yep. Agreed. Jack?
I'll echo Robbie. I mean, that was really what was going to come out of my mouth. I don't think that there's any better event or thing that you can do if you're a QSO, if you really want to learn the industry, learn how to have help. I mean, the great thing about QSOs is they'll help you. Like, I remember when we were coaching another startup about how to do some things that they just needed to understand about the industry. I mean, you'll get that kind of help there. I mean, everyone will sit down with, that's what we got the first year we went. I was so appreciative of everyone. Like, oh, have you done this? I mean, it's just a wealth of information.
Yeah.
And Jack and his organization has done a phenomenal job. I mean, I can't say enough about that QSO. So I would definitely go. It's my favorite conference of the year.
Mine's one.
Well, That and correlation and Symitar are really good too, but that's a phenomenal conference.
Yeah. NetCUSA, there's a different vibe at NetCUSA, mm-hmm. and it's just something you got to experience. And yeah, definitely one of my favorites too. Bill, I'm going to let you have the final words here.
And agree. I totally agree with going to NetCUSA. And networking is critical, but I would go so far as to say, you know, in my case, if I have a positive experience with someone like Pure IT, then I need to be an advocate for them. And, you know, Pure IT could ask me, hey, Bill, do you have some other folks that we should be talking to? And I might say, you know what, I've been talking to so-and-so, and they were telling me they're thinking about a project that would be in your wheelhouse, and then I can make the connection for them. And so I think as CUSOs, we should be doing that. We should be thinking of each other, and when we know enough about each other that we hear something like that, we can make that connection between each of us.
Indeed. Great message to end on. Gentlemen, thank you so much. It is great to hear that collaboration is alive and well, not only in credit unions, but CUSOs as well. So that just bodes well for the industry overall. So thank you for what you guys are doing as well. And I can't wait to go back to NetCUSA when we can go see each other in person again. Oh my gosh, can't happen soon enough.
Absolutely. Just heard GAC got moved too, which is crazy.
I know. But well, we'll just keep our fingers crossed. All right, gentlemen, be well, be safe. Thanks again for all your hard work. I know the credit unions are certainly appreciative of it. And let's look forward to checking back in here in the next couple of months.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks everybody.
Anytime, guys. Anytime. Well done.